begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Aleph, to thank Mrs. Salma Wolf for dedicating all the Shomer Drashos this month, with immense gratitude for the refuels from Hashem, in the merit of a refuah shlema for all of those in need, and the schus of our brave soldiers and the return of our hostages, to thank the Schwarzbaum family for dedicating all the Shomer Drashos this month in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwarzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir Zichron Levracha, the Ziv, Levine, and Berman families in memory of William Ziv, Zev Shmuel Ben Yisrael. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, and the Schlosser of Fushalima. For Mr. Jack Levy, Yaakov Ben Italia, who is undergoing surgery this week in Eretz Yisrael, and in the schus of Sergeant Major Dennis Yakimov, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah, all of the families in Chama, and all of those who need a refuah should have one together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. Let's say something really incredible. Baruch Hashem, it's beautiful to see. Now, yesterday, Steve was in Warsaw. Steve was in Newark. Newark. You'll see what I said. This morning, David Kahana is on Zoom. He tells that he's in Warsaw. So just saying, Baruch Hashem, you know, the incredible part of the daf is, Wherever you go, Baruch Hashem, the daf is with you. So beautiful and so incredible. All right, so let us begin. Today's daf is and the shir today is sponsored by the Schoenfeld family in honor of Bav Metzia Daf Hey. Bav Metzia Daf Hey. Baruch Hashem, that's the dedication. Incredible. Let us begin. So we are picking up, today's daf is Daf Hey. We are picking up on Dalai Lama Beis 4b, and we are picking up Masiv Marzutra Beid Rav Nachman. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. So remember again, interestingly enough, our topic is still the statement of Rabbi Chiya. Now remember again, we've gone on many, it's not even tangents, but that conversation has kind of branched off in many different directions. But the core conversation is the same, right? Rabbi Chiya said back on Gimel Amud Aleph that what happens, Reuven goes over to Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and say, Shimon, you owe Reuven $500. So now, again, Shimon is going to be chayiv for the $500. So the shaila is, what about the remaining $500? Rabbi Chiya says that Shimon now has to swear on the remaining $500. Why? Shelote odas piv gedola me'adas edim. Because ultimately, because we say that one's own admission should be no stronger than edus. So just as mode b'miksas makes you chayv in shvua, so to kind of like what it comes down to is almost like what we would call an edus b'miksas. So it's when there's testimony about part of a claim, that will trigger testimony regarding the rest of the claim. Of course, now this branched off in a whole variety of directions. Most specifically, now where we found ourselves yesterday, Bosa, was in the dramatic machlokis regarding heluch. What is the status of Halach? So that was a machlokes between Rabbi Chiya and Rav Sheshes. So Rabbi Chiya felt that Halach is just like a regular case of Modu B'Mikzas, and Rav Sheshes felt that Halach was not Modu B'Mikzas. Okay, so we'll say, so then that then branched off into another machlokes regarding if Reuven lent money to Shimon in a document that just says, you owe me Sloim. Reuven claims he lent in 5 Sloim. So Shimon claims he only borrowed 3 Sloim. So what's the status of that case from Shimon Elazar? That ultimately, again, that's Modu B'Mikzas. Rabbi Akiva, no. That's Meshiv Aveda. Since Halacha L'Maisi, he could only be really entitled based on the Shtar to 2 Sloim. We then try to infer what each of those respected Shitos would hold vis-a-vis Halach. Okay, so we just reviewed the last 2 blocks. Good, so we'll say, so now we pick up, again, kind of embedded still in the same fundamental machlokesim. So here we go. So Masim Masuch Reid Rav Nachman. Very interesting. So we'll say, by the way, you'll also see part of the real excitement of Bav Metzia is how is so many different concepts brought up in the course of a discussion. Each of them is going to go ahead and get their own attention as we go on. So let's go weiter. Says the Gemara. So Masim Masuch Reid Rav Nachman. Tanu Kelim Kakos. So we'll say, watch this. Let's say Reuven makes claim against Shimon for both Kelim and Karkos. So he says, Shimon, you owe me utensils, Kelim and Karkos. And I'm both saying that Kelim in this context is movable property, and Karkos, which is Karkos, immovable property. So what's halacha? Hold the Kelim and cover the Karkos. So let's say again, Shimon admitted that he owed the Kelim, but he denied that he owed the Karkos. or hold the bekarkos for kafar bekelim, or he admitted that he owed the karka, but he denied that he owed the kelim. What's the halacha? Pater. Now we'll say, and here's what's interesting. You would say, this sounds like a mode of a mikzas, right? Because remember, the claim in its entirety is comprised of kelim and karka. So essentially what's happening over here, so Shimon is admitting part of the claim, right? He's admitting either kelim or karka, depending on the case. Gemara says, that's not mode of a mikzas. Why is it not mode of a mikzas? Because halach lemaisa, you never swear regarding karka. Ein nishbo'in akfiras karkos. Or to say a little bit differently, any claim that involves real property doesn't come to a shvua. Now again, we've actually mentioned this concept now today and yesterday. We'll see where that concept comes from. So right now we'll accept it as fact, but lemaisa we'll delve into a little bit. Take a look at Rashi. Potter, Rashi Zubo said, Rashi is the last short line. Because we'll say at the end of the day, halacha lemaisa, you can never come to a shvua based on a claim regarding karka. Fine. So Gemara says, Miksas Kalim. We'll say, what happens if halacha lemaisa, again, what happens if Reuven makes the claim against Shimon and Shimon admits a partial responsibility for Kalim, then Chayiv. Then in that case, Gemara says, it's going to be Modi b'miksas in Kalim, and that ultimately, again, will generate the Chiv of Shua Modi b'miksas in Shimon. Taimo, the Kalim v'karkos, the karka lav bas shvuahi. They both say, now, in the first case, the reason why, if it's a claim of Kalim and karka, even if Shimon admits the Kalim, or the karka for that matter, that is not going to be a shvuah, is because there's karka involved, and ein nishbo'in ala karkos. We do not go ahead and make a shvuah based on karka. So the Gemara says, ha Kalim v'kalim, dumya de Kalim v'karkos. They will say, but if you were to have a case of Kalim, and Kalim, that was similar to a case of Kalim and karkos, you'd be chayiv. They will say, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So hechi dummy, what's the case? Lav da'amar le'helich. So we'll say, imagine for the following situation, imagine for a moment. So Reuven claimed, Shimon, you owe me $1,000 of Kalim. Shimon says, I only borrowed $500 worth of Kalim, and I never even used them. They're extant. Helich. So we'll say, the Gemara infers from that ultimately, again, if it was a case like that, you would be chayiv shvua, ushma mina helich chayiv. And see from here that helich is effectively treated like mode b'miktsas, and therefore halacha l'maisa you be chayiv in a shvuah. We'll say, I want to give the same caveat that I gave yesterday, that helich is a major, major sugya. I'm not doing it justice over here. We're just going in helich. There are different shitos of what helich means. We're just going in Rashi, and we're just going to kind of keep going through that. But again, I just feel obligated to full disclosure, that there's a much bigger sugya unfolding over here. So Gemara says, lo, the olam emelecha kelim v'kelim nami potter. No, I would disagree with that. Even in a case of kelim and kelim, you'd be potter. V'hadikani, in other words, we'll say, even if you were to set it up like a case of helich, because we would pass in that helich is potter from shvuah, the Gemara is suggesting. So the Gemara says, even if it was kelim v'kelim nami potter, v'hadikani kelim v'karkos, so why did it bring up a case of kelim and karkos? Ha kamash malon, hode b'miktsas kelim, chayiv af ala karkos. Suppose he is to teach me the following situation. That I will say, now watch this. In the case of where you have kelim and karkos, right? So you have a dual claim, right? Reuven comes to Shimon, you owe me kelim and karko. Fine. We'll say, so in a case where halacha l'maisa, let's say Shimon admitted kelim but denied karka, or karka and denied kelim, you would not be chayiv a shvua in that case, right? Why? Because we'll say it's not called modi b'miktsas, or I should say it differently. Any claim that involves karka, there's no shvua. Again, we don't know why that is, we're just accepting that as fact right now. However, what about the following case? Let's say Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me kelim and karka, and Shimon says, and he says, you owe me $1,000 of kelim, $1,000 of karka, and Shimon says, I only owe you $500 of kelim. Oh, so we'll say that would be a case of modi b'miktsas in kelim, where halacha l'maisa that would generate a shvua. So what's the novelty in this case? So we'll say, listen to this. So hakamash v'lon hodi b'miktsas kelim chayiv af ala karkos. So something fascinating happens over here. Then I will say, if you are watch this. Sorry, if you're modi b'miktsas in kelim. So again, if you have a partial admission on the claim of kelim, that could generate a shvuah on karka. But one second. You just said that we don't swear on karka. So the Gemara says, "My kamash v'alon." What are you coming to teach me? Zogekin? Oh, okay. So we'll say, so now another new sugya. Now another new sugya, a new concept. So we'll say, we've actually seen this before. Zogekin means like this. Zogekin means there are certain things, certain halachic realities, which do not generate an obligation for shvua on their own. But once you're already swearing, will make that oath devolve upon those other areas as well. In other words, we'll say the logic is, once you're already taking a shvua, there could be certain things which cannot generate an obligation or shvua. But once you're already taking a shvua, we could pile those on. So that, I'm sorry?
Gilgal, yeah.
Oh, sucks, excuse me, I'm sorry. I had such Bekiyim and Shas over here. I forgot who I'm dealing with. All right, but correct. Yes, Gilgal Shvua. Correct. I'm sorry, I'm explaining it too much. Beautiful. So that's what it is. So the Gemara says, okay, so therefore, again, if you're Modi B'mitzas in Kalim, then ultimately, once we have you swearing for the Modi B'mitzas Kalim, we'll throw on the Shvua as well. That's the Chiddush over here. To which the Gemara says, really, that's what you're coming to teach me? Tanina, we learned that already. We already learned that. Tanina, Zokekin on the Chasim Sheilan Achrayis, Esan the Chasim Sheishlan Achrayis, Yishav Aleim. We've already learned this, so I'll say, you're right, we already established this. You can't take a Shavuah on real property, but you can't take a Shavuah on movable property. So once we go ahead and make you chayv a shvua for the movable property, zokikin. We'll say zokikin is just another lashon of Gilgal. Right? Zokikin will go ahead and will roll the shvua onto you for the real property as well. To which the Gemara says, "You're right." Hacha ikar hasam agav grara nasba. To which the Gemara says, "You're right." The truth is here, where the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah from Shavuos. Here, this is the ikar, but over there by kiddushin, when they quote it, also we see this a lot of times. That sometimes the Gemara will repeat something. Because sometimes in one place it's stated as the primary halacha, and again, which is what's happening in Shavuos, but in Maseches Kiddushin, when it's quoted as the secondary halacha. Okay, but I was interesting is, but see, here's the distinction. So again, if the claim is for Kalim and Karka, and so Shimon's coming against, so Reuben's coming against Shimon, Shimon denies Kalim, admits Karka, or vice versa, there's no mode to mix us because that is a claim of Karka. If the mode of mixes, however, is in the kelim, then ultimately he could be chayav shvua. And once he's chayav shvua on the kelim, he's going to be chayav shvua on the karka as well. So I'll just tell you just the tremendous Musar Haskil, in this idea of Gilgul Shvua, or Zogikin as we're calling it over here. Now I'll say, what does Gilgul Shvua say? Gilgul Shvua says like this. There are certain things that you cannot be brought to Shvua for. But once you're swearing already regarding A, we'll pile on, we'll add on other items as well. And I will say the same thing works that way in the realm of Chet and in the realm of Aveira. There are certain things that the Ribono Shel Olam overlooks. Right? Chazal tells us, overlooks certain Aveiras. The problem is that once my behavior reaches a certain threshold, then now there's accountability for all of the smaller acts that led me to this as well. You see, chet doesn't happen in a vacuum. Chet, we know this. Rabbi Soloveitchik speaks about this concept that there's chet, there's sin, and there's derech chotim. There's the pathway to sin. The pathway to sin is often paved with smaller, sometimes even innocuous things that are not sinful in and of themselves, but are not the right decisions for me. I put myself in the wrong place. I surround myself with the wrong people. I just make decisions that are not great, but by themselves, they're not a big deal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, pass, I'll give you a pass on this, pass on this, pass on this. However, sometimes what happens in life is those innocuous, quote-unquote innocuous things combine together and lead me to a certain result. Once I get to that result, then there's liability. And once there's liability, so to speak, there's like a look-back period. And that look-back says, how did you get here? How did I get here? And I will say, sometimes the process of tshuva, the mistake we often make with tshuva is that we only do tshuva for the chet, for the action itself, without being retrospective and asking myself, how did I get here? Because as I said before, chet never happens in a vacuum. Chet is a composite of a whole series of choices that I've made to get me to this point. And without engaging in the retrospective analytic process of understanding how did I get here, I'm going to repeat the same mistakes over and over and over. And unfortunately, once I cross that threshold of sin, Gilgul Shvuah, there's liability for all of those previous smaller, innocuous actions as well, because it turns out that now all of those things got me, unfortunately, to the destination that I got to. So there's Gilgul Shvuah, and to a certain degree, there's Gilgul Tshuva. Gilgul Shvuah, Gilgul Tshuva, that there's responsibility, I will say, even for the small acts that may not be sinful, but that ultimately put me on the wrong path in life. Tshuva requires me not only to go ahead and apologize and to engage in the cathartic process for the actual action itself, but requires me to look back and figure out how I got here in the first place. Incredible. So top of hey, Ulaman Domer Helich Potter. So it's according to the opinion that says that Helich is Potter. So am I itzdirichkra lumi ute karka mishvua? So we'll say, so why do I need a pasuk to teach me that karka is exempt from shvua? Ha kol karka helichu. So I will say, this is actually such a fascinating observation. Karka, well, so remember again, what was the case of Halach? At least according to Rashi, basically on this, I mean, what's Halach? Halach is a case where I admit that I owe something, and I say it's extant. Like, it's there. In the case of borrowing money, I never even used it. So we'll say, so it's interesting. According to the opinion that says that Halach is not modu b'miksas, Halach is its own thing, and Halach is potter because it's almost as if the item that I'm admitting is actually in the domain, in the reshus of the owner. Therefore, there's no shvua that's necessary. Why do I need a pasuk to exclude karka from shvua if at the end of the day, all karka is Halach? Isn't that fascinating? Karka by definition is Halach. Why? Well, this ties into what we saw also at the end of Baba Kama a lot. Karka in an exelus. You can't steal karka. Can't steal karka. Why can't you steal karka? Why not? It's there. It's there. It's immovable. You can't do anything to it. So karka is Halach. If you hold that Halach is Pater from Shavua, then why do you need a separate lingua to teach me that anything dealing with karka doesn't generate the Shavua obligation? It's obvious. Because karka is always halach. It's incredible. And I will say, by the way, Rashi point, we're like, so you see this, we're like, I didn't see a pasuk. Did I miss something over here? Where did the Gemara do that thing? But Rashi says, don't worry, you didn't miss anything. Di'alfina le'michlalu prat b'shvuas ulekama l'perak hazav. So I will say, we didn't actually see this limud inside. It happens in Masechet Shvuas, and in a couple of weeks from now, Meretz Hashem in Bav Metzia. So Gemara says, good kasha. Amalei itzterich kra heicha dechafer baborin sichin uma'aros. So it's very interesting. Now, where does it come up? So we'll say, there is a case of karka that's not halach. What's that case? Where you damage the property. See, I will say, remember again, you start digging, right? You start digging, baro sichin ma'aros, so like literally again, pits and cisterns and caves. So in that case, I will say, it's not halach because the property needs to be restored back to its original condition. So that would be a case of where karka wouldn't fall under the umbrella of halach. Because let's remember again, what does halach require? Halach requires that the object is in its exact form that it was at the beginning of the transaction. So in that case, the karka would not be subject to halach. That's where you would need the additional pasuk to tell you, or the additional bima to teach you, that karka is not subject to shavua. Inami, another case, hecha detanu kelim v'karkos, v'hodu b'kelim v'kafer b'karkos. So we'll say, so again, it's halacha l'maisa, the Gemara says, the other possibility could be you need the pasuk to teach you that karka is not subject to shvua in the case like we just saw before, where there's a dual claim of kelim and karka. You might have thought that maybe once karka is kind of wrapped up with kelim in a claim, maybe it takes on like a kelim-like status and is subject to shvua. Kamash malon, that it's not. Okay, tashma, let's go. To turn around, Barachama. So Rabbi say, here we go. Let's go back. Rabbi Barachama says to us, Arba shomrim tzrichin kfira b'miktsas v'odah b'miktsas. So Rabbi Barachama says, there are four shomrim. The four custodians who, in order to generate an obligation for the custodian to swear about the status or the whereabouts, right, the status of the whereabout of the object entrusted to him, requires a modu b'miktsas. So Rabbi Barachama is introducing is like this, that in order for any of the shomrim to swear, there has to be a partial admission. Who are the four custodians? Shomer Chinam, so Shomer Chinam, unpaid custodian, Shoel, borrower, no say schar, is a paid custodian, Vasokar, and a renter. So the Gemara says, Hechi Dami, what's the case? Lav da amar lehelach. So both say, so remember, so in all of these cases, I've entrusted an object, right? Either with Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, they're watching it for pay, not for pay. Shoel is borrowing it, right? And Socher is renting it. So the object, so what's the case? So we'll say, maybe the case is like this. I go over to the, let's just keep it simple. I go over to the Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar. I say, I lent you $1,000, right? I put in your custody. I put in your watch $1,000. And what's the case? They said, first of all, it's only 500. And it's right there. It's right there. Helach. So the Gemara says, Hechi Dami Lav Dama LeHelech. And we'll say, it sounds like over here that Helech is like Modi B'Mikzas and would generate the Shavua. Lo, that's not the case. Dama LeGimel Paros Masarti Lecha. Umesu Kulu B'Pshia. So this is actually a really interesting case. Now the case is like this. I go over to Reuven. Reuven is my Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Shoel, doesn't matter, whatever he is. And I say to him, Reuven, I gave you three cows to watch, or three cows to water, whatever it is. And all of them died as a result of your negligence. Now, I will say, just to be clear, we're grouping these shomrim together, right? Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam, Nosei Schar, Shoel. Obviously, I will say, there's different levels of liability for each of the shomrim. Bottom line is, all of them are chayiv for negligence, for pshia. So I say, I go over to Reuven. Say, Reuven, I gave you my cow, three cows to watch, and all of them died because of your negligence. So Amrlei, so first of all, Reuven says, 1 second, right? Pump the brakes over here. Number one, so Amrlei, Reuven says back to me, number one, there were never three cows, there were two cows, right? So that's number one. Let's get that. So we're only talking about two. The Chad Mesa Ba'ones, one died because of extenuating circumstances, right? The Chad Mesa Ba'pshia, right? And one died, I admit that one died as a result of my negligence. Deba'ina Shlomi Lecha. And I admit that I owe you for one of those cows. The lav helach. So Rabbi said, it's not a helach case. Not a helach case. So that's the case in question over here. Reuven contends one cow never happened. One was onis and one was pshia. So bottom line, I admit. So Rabbi said, so what's happening in this case? There is a partial admission and partial denial. Right? There's an admission that one was pshia. One was ones, right? That's not really an admission, but one was pshia, right? He's patra and ones, and a total denial. One of these cows never existed at all. But this is not a case of halach. So tashma. Okay, so Moshe, so that would be Rami Bar Chama's case of where the shomrim would swear because of Mod B'Mikzas. And Moshe, now it happens to be, just so you should know, we don't adapt Rami Bar Chama's idea, right? Rami Bar Chama feels the only case where a shomer will be chayiv a shvua is where there's a hodah, but makes us a partial admission. We don't accept that. For us, shomrim swear about all other kinds of scenarios as well. Okay, just an interesting idea. You're going to say, why is he being brought down over here? We thought it was a halach case. Kamash malon, it's not the halach case. Let's move on. Tashma, the Tani Avod, the Rabbi Afturiki. Interesting. Right, Rabbi Afturiki. So, right, the father Rabbi Afturiki said, right, the Tani Avod Rabbi Afturiki, the Rabbi Chia, Kamaisa, Manali Biadecha, Vala Omer Ein Lecha Biadiklom. So, we'll say, watch this. So, we'll say, this is the same case of Rabbi Chia. So, we'll say, here it comes. It's coming to a head now. Get ready for this. Right, this whole time. Rabbi Chia was like the uncontested view. Remembering, what did Rabbi Chia say? Reuven goes over to Shimon, I lent you $1,000. Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and say, Shimon, you owe Reuven $500. So ultimately, obviously, the first 500 that there's testimony for, Shimon's going to have to pay. And Rabbi Chia says, Shimon's going to have to swear on the remaining 500. Comes along the father of Rabbi Afturiki and says, Rabbi Chia, Manavi biyadecha v'ala omer ein lecha biyadi klum. Reuven goes over to Shimon. Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Va'eidim me'idin oso shiyesh biyado chamishim. And, I'm sorry, because the shiur is sponsored by the Schoenfelds, I have to be textually accurate. I'm sorry. Right? So again, Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, you owe me 100. Right? Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and say that Shimon owes Reuven 50. So now what's the halacha? Here we go. Yachol Yishava. Shimon says, so obviously, you don't have to say, obviously the 50 that the witnesses are testifying about, obviously you have to pay. Right? The Gemara doesn't need to say that. That is obvious. Yachol Yishava al Ashar. You might have thought now that what? That Shimon has to swear regarding the other 50. Talmud Lomar, Al Kol Aveda Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. Al Zeh, as the Gemara says, Ahodas Piv Atamechaivo V'Atamechaivo Al Ha'odas Edim. Wow. So what's that? Comes on the father of Rabbi Aftariki and says, no, Mo'od de B'miktzas only works when it's of your own admission. It does not work based on Eidos. Witnesses cannot, what's that? The way testimony works is, witnesses can only make you chayiv on what? On what? On what they're testifying about. Their testimony does not have any reach beyond that. So in this case, witnesses are showing up and saying, Shimon, you owe Reuven 50. Done. That's it. But now you can't, but now we'll say, so what the father of Rabbi Aftariki is saying is, the concept of motive amidst as partial admission is dafka that. When the defendant is making a partial admission, so he's saying, what's the psychology of modem mix us? Psychology of modem mix us is really the defendant, or in this case, let's say the debtor, wants to really what? Wants to what? He wants to deny everything. But he can't do that because in Adame is part of the Fei Balchova. People are not that chutzpahdik to deny the entirety of a claim. Right? So what does he do? He denies part of the claim because his whole chap is that I want to go ahead, buy myself a little bit of time. So the Gemara says, that only works when there's a partial admission on the part of the defendant. But there's no such thing as a shvuas modeh b'miktzas that is generated by Eidos. So we'll say, see, here it is. Here it is. This is the showdown. Machlokes Rabbi Chiya and the father of Rabbi Aftariki. Right? Rabbi Chiya is saying that the testimony of the witnesses, partial, that when the witnesses come along and say that Shimon owns Reuven 50, that's going to generate the shvua on the remaining 50. And the father of Rabbi Aftariki saying, absolutely not. The concept of modem mixas. So I will say, by the way, this is the pasuk one. I'll call Aveda for any lost object, Asher Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. This phrase ultimately, again, Ki Hu Zeh, that we'll get into this. That's the source of Shvuas modem mixas, that you have to take a Shvuah for a partial admission. And the father of Rabbi Aftariki says, it's tafka only in a case where the debtor, or the defendant himself, is making the partial admission. Incredible. So also the Gemara says, Masnisa kara misadi Rabbi Chiya. So okay, so what are you doing? You're bringing a Mishnah to contradict Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya tanu upalik. So what? Rabbi Chiya is a Tana. Rabbi Chiya is a Tana. Both say, guess what? You know what the great part about being a Tana is? Great, best part about being a Tana? Right? Besides, like, you know, lounge access in the airports. Right? What's the best part about being a Tana? Best part about being a Tana is you can argue on a Mishnah. You could argue. So fine. So there's another Tana who's disagreeing with him. That's fine. Lemaisa, he could argue. To which Gemara says, I have a hakra ka'amar. Once Rabbi Kibra, the father of Rabbi Aftariki is bringing a pasuk. That's pretty compelling. To which the Gemara says, no. Hahu, lemode mixas hataina. So we'll say, so first of all, that pasuk is by mode of mixas. That's number one. Vavud Rabbi Aftariki Amalacha. So we'll say the father of Rabbi Aftariki will say as follows: Ksiv hu uksiv zeh. I will say, so that pasuk itself has a number of what appear to be extraneous or unnecessary words. The pasuk says hu, and the pasuk says zeh. Chad lemode mixas hataina. So we'll say, so one ultimately again is coming for actual mode of mixas. The chad la'adas edim depater. So we'll say it's interesting. So we'll say almost like the who is coming to go ahead and teach you that modem makes us when the defendant himself makes the partial admission. That's when he's going to be chayev a shvuah on the remaining amount. And ultimately, again, the zeh is coming to go ahead and teach me that if the partial admission, so to speak, is made by edim, edus cannot generate a shvuah on the rest of the claim. Incredible. V'idach chad, v'idach, v'idach, the other opinion will say, chad l'mod b'mikzas, so we'll say that's the other one will be Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya will say, v'idach chad l'mod b'mikzas ha'tayna, v'chad l'mod b'min ha'tayna. So this is actually interesting. Rabbi Chiya will teach you that one is to teach me about mod b'mikzas, and one is teaching, and one word is teaching me that the admission has to be mimin ha'tayna. The partial admission has to mirror the actual claim. Again, we're going to define that in just a second. V'idach moda mimin hataina lesle. So the other opinion will say that no, actual the admission doesn't have to mirror the claim. What does that refer to? Rabbi says it's actually fascinating. So look, Rabbi Gamliel, this nan. Rabbi says, listen to this. What does it mean that the admission has to mirror the claim or not mirror the claim? Watch this. This nan. Rabbi says, because we learned, we're going to see this. We actually have this in Baba Kama as well. This nan. Tanu chitin v'holdilo b'sorin. So it was actually a very interesting case. Let's say Reuven claims you owe me $1,000 of wheat, okay? And Shimon says, I only owe you $500 of barley. So Rabbi will say, is that called modi b'miktsas? Is that called a partial omission? So Rabbi will say, so this is a fundamental machlokes of, does the hodah, does the omission have to be mimin hataina? Does the omission have to mirror the claim? So Rabbi says, so in this case over here, and that's a machlokes. So the Gemara is suggesting that machlokes is also a machlokes, the father of Rabbi Aftariki and Rabbi Chiya. So fascinating. Okay, so Rabbi says, so by the way, that brings to a close the statement of, or the sugya of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi says, I think I already mentioned in yesterday's daf, that the Rambam actually paskins like Rabbi Chiya. Rambam paskins like Rabbi Chiya. So the name of Rabbi Chiya, kind of just to bring it full circle, is that halacha l'maaseh in this case, where Reuven goes over to Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I only owe you, Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and say, you owe 500. Halal obviously have to pay the first 500. And the Rambam paskins, he will actually have to take a shvua on the remaining 500. So why, based on this idea that modib mixas, your own admission, can't be any more powerful than actual edus itself. Now I will say that interestingly enough, the Rambam also passing is like Rav Sheshes when it comes to halach, that halach is not modib mixas. And therefore I will say an admission of halach is pater. So in other words, in that case, and again, I'm simplifying these cases, they're much more complicated than we're making it. That in that case where let's say Reuven goes over to Shimon, owe me $1,000. Shimon says, he only lent me 500, and halach, it's here, it's extant, that is not a case of modi b'miktsas. That's not a case of modi b'miktsas, because again, since the money is extant, just the halach is a different kind of parasha. But again, I will say, we're not really getting into that halacha l'maaseh with halach, because we didn't delve into all of the shitos regarding halach as well. What about this concept of mimin hataina? So Rabbi will say, we paskin that for hodah b'miktsas, the hodah, the admission, has to mirror the claim. So therefore, in this case over here, for example, when Reuven claims to Shimon, you owe me $1,000 of wheat, and Shimon says, I only owe you $500 of barley, that's not modi b'miktsas. Okay, that's not modi b'miktsas, because the hodah, the admission, has to mirror the claim. Beautiful. Let's go ahead. We'll say again a lot more in all of these subjects, but now at least we have a beautiful, hopefully a hold on them. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Hahu Raya. Again, not that we're finished with these things. I want to be clear as well. They're going to keep coming up over and over, but just a little bit of clarity as we move forward. Hahu Raya. What's a great case over here? Hahu Raya, to have a must relay called Yom Echiyusa Besadi. Listen to this. We'll say there was a local shepherd. And we'll say, you know, the way that it used to work, right? There are two different shepherding models. This is good to know. There are two different shepherding models. One model is self-shepherding, right? What's self-shepherding? Kishmo kenhu. You shepherd your own flock, right? The other method is you have a guy, right? You have a guy, you outsource, and you give over your flock to the local shepherd. So there was a situation over here where the townspeople gave over their sheep to the shepherd every day. I always say, but the way it worked is that generally they gave him the sheep in the presence of witnesses. which makes sense because, you know, if you have a bunch of people giving over sheep to the shepherd, you know, you want to keep track. Reuven's giving 3 sheep and Shimon's giving 10 sheep, or maybe he's giving 25 sheep. So this way, fine. What happened? Yom HaChamash LaBeil Sadi. One day, they forgot the witnesses. So you already know that this is going south, right? So they forgot that one day they gave him over the sheep without witnesses. L'sof amr lehu lo hayu dvarim me'olam. So what happened? So the shepherd said, so everybody comes back. So Monday morning, they all give him the sheep. No witnesses. Monday afternoon, everybody comes back to get their flock. And the shepherd says, What flock? Lo hayu dvarim me'olam. Right? There were never any sheep. Not sure what you're talking about. Okay. Asu sahad yasidu beid da'achal tarti minayu. So we'll say now, witnesses showed up. A witness has said, we saw Reuven the shepherd eating 2 sheep that did not belong to him. Right? By the way, that is quite a meal. Right? It was a scene. It was fine. Right? It was by the rowing club, right? So let's just say he was eating 2 sheep. Da'achal tarti minayu. So we'll say, what do you do with this? So the Gemara says, I'm going to be Zera. In Isa l'drabichia kamaisa mishtaba shara. So we'll say, now watch this. So based on Rabbi Chia, we'll say now again, remember, I said, so we're not finished Rabbi Chia. Right? What did Rabbi Chia say? Rabbi Chia said, Reuven goes over to Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon said, we'll say all the time, right? All Rabbi Chia all the time. Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses show up and say, that's what? You owe him 500. Now what's the halacha? According to Rabbi Chia, you have to swear on the rest. Oh, this seems to be a case of Rabbi Chia. Because what's happening over here? Shepherd said, right? Townspeople say, you owe us a collective, we'll call it, I don't know, 50 sheep. Right? Shepherd says, I owe you nothing. Witnesses come along and they say, we saw you eating 2 sheep. And obviously, it has to be that the witnesses know that these were not Reuven's, shepherd's sheep. Right? They know it was not the shepherd's sheep. So we'll say, now, it seems to be that if you have testimony now about the 2 sheep, according to Rabbi Chia, that should trigger a shvua for the rest of the sheep. Amalei Abaye im Isa Mishtaba v'hagazlanhu. Abaye says, 1 second, how can you make him swear? He's a thief. Now remember again, the halacha is, if somebody doesn't have credibility, they can't swear. That's the general halacha. If somebody doesn't have credibility, in order to take a shuvah, shuvah requires credibility. So we'll say, now we've established, shepherd is a thief. We have testimony that he was eating stolen sheep. So how can you let him swear? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Amalei shekinegdo kamir. Rabbi say, there is so much packed into these Gemaras. So we'll say, now watch this. Shekinegdo means like this. There is a fascinating rabbinic mechanism in Shavua. But say, this could happen. Let's say, I have a claim against someone, and now based on the claim, they have to swear. What's the problem? They have zero credibility. How do you let someone who has zero credibility take a shvua? The answer is we don't. Rabbi say, but what can you do? You could flip it. There's a concept of flipping the shvua. And when you flip the shvua, what that does is it allows the other party to swear to the veracity of their claim and allow them to collect based on that shvua. So watch this. So the Gemara suggests something like this. Well, so let's play this out, right? So here we go. Townspeople deposited their sheep with the shepherd, but without Eden, they come back to claim their sheep. Shepherd says, never happened. Witnesses show up, say, we saw you eating 2 sheep that did not belong to you. Gazlan. So now, based on Rabbi Chia, let him swear regarding the rest. How could he swear? He's a Gazlan. To which the Gemara says, you're right, flip it. And I will say, what will happen is that each of the townspeople will come to Beis Din, swear to how many sheep they deposited with the shepherd. And the shepherd is going to be obligated to give them back those sheep. Incredible. That's connect, though. To which the Gemara says, Hashtanami. So the truth is, even without Rabbi Chia, we can still make the shepherd chai based Rav Nachman. What does Rav Nachman say? This nan manali biyadecha. Right, Reuven goes over to Shimon. You owe me $1,000. Ein lecha biyadi. Shimon says, I owe you nothing. Potter. So we'll say. So again, remember, technically speaking, in the case of kofar akol. Right, we'll say, we know that if you fully deny a claim and there's no testimony, there's no witnesses, then what's the halacha? Your butter. So the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Mashbi'in Oso Shvuas Heses. So we'll say, this is interesting. So we'll say, so Rav Nachman will say, in that case, we will make Shimon swear what's called the Shvuas Heses. We'll say, what's the Shvuas Heses? Look at Rashi. Heses, three hands off the bottom. Shvuas Shesisu Chacham Lekach La'asisu L'Hodos. So we'll say, Rav Nachman says, when Beis Din feels that something may be up, they can impose what's called the Shvuas Heses. It's a Shvua. Beis Din can make someone swear. So in other words, Ruvay comes over to Shimon. So Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, oh, you're nothing. So we'll say, so remember again, Midoraisa, what's the halach over here? Case closed. Kofir bakol, if you totally deny a claim, and again, Ruvain has no corroborating testimony, as they say, ein amal ledaber. There's nothing more to talk about. We're done. So we'll say, so Nachman says, there's a concept of Shuas Hasas. Shuas Hasas says, if Beis Din feels that maybe there's something going on over here, they can make you take a shua. So therefore, we'll say, watch this. So therefore, the Gemara says, even without Rabbi Chiyah, halacha l'maaseh, in this case, townspeople gave over their sheep to the shepherd, but without witnesses, they say, shepherd, give us back our sheep. Shepherd says, I never had any sheep. And now what happens, witnesses show up and say, shepherd, we saw you eating two sheep that were not your own. Even without Rabbi Chiyah, based on Rav Nachman, we can make the shepherd swear. Now, remember, the shepherd himself is not going to swear. Who's going to swear? The townspeople. Make them make a Shvuas Heses. To which the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman takanti. What's the answer to this? Rav Nachman Shvua is a drabanon, amadeis, vitakanta le takanta lo abdinon. See, Rabbo say, no, you wouldn't do it. Based on Rav Nachman, you wouldn't do it. Why? Because according to Rav Nachman, Rabbo say, it would be a double rabbinic Shvua. What would happen over here? You would say there's a Shvuas Heses, and not only is there a Shvuas, what are you going to do? You're going to flip the Shvuas Heses onto the townspeople. That would be a double drabanon. And Rabbo say, we don't do that. We don't pile rabbinic law upon rabbinic law. I have a sefer klei the havi le'roa. So Rabbo say, stam, the Gemara says, even if witnesses didn't show up, we still will say, so I just want to point out, in this case, the Gemara is suggesting that there are really two mechanisms we could get to make the shepherd swear. Either Rabbi Chiyah, because since witnesses showed up about two of the sheep, that kind of creates almost like a modem and makes us type of situation, the shepherd has to swear regarding everything else, or even without Rabbi Chiyah. There's Rav Nachman, right? The Rav Nachman says, whenever kind of like there's smoke, we could impose a Shvuas Heses. Now, we'll say now, in all of these cases, now again, the Gemara says, you can't use Rav Nachman because that would be a double drabanon. But I just want to point out, in all of these cases, we really wouldn't be having the shepherd swear. We'd flip the Shvua onto the townspeople because the shepherd himself does not have ne'emonos. It's not of credibility. So the Gemara says, by the way, the Gemara says, even in general, a shepherd doesn't have credibility. Why? V'amar Rav Yehuda, stam ro'e pasul. But let's say, even just a general shepherd, right? Shepherds don't have credibility. And I want to say, even if witnesses didn't show up, right? We still wouldn't let the shepherd swear. Why not? Because the Gemara says, Zamar of Yehuda, Stam Roe Apostle. Which is, I want to say, like a pretty dramatic statement, right? That a Stam Roe is Apostle. Rashi says, why is he Apostle? Le'idus de Stame Gazlanu, Shemara Behemosa, B'Savla Shalachirim. Let's say, general, how do shepherds work? Shepherds let their flocks graze wherever they want to graze. And therefore, again, stam shepherds ultimately, again, are going to be possible. We'll say, I'll just point out how incredible this Gemara is. You know, we'll say, our greatest leaders were shepherds, right? Avraham Avinu was a shepherd. David HaMelech was a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shepherd, which is really quite fascinating. Now, the Gemara qualifies this. The Gemara says, D-lo. So we'll say, by the way, just even before the qualification, it makes perfect sense. Because I will say, greatness is carved from the same stone of absolute tuma, right? Absolute greatness and absolute terribleness, right? It's two sides of the same coin. I will say, if you look at great people and incredibly evil people, they have the same wellspring of koach. They just choose to use it different ways. So shepherding could either be the source of incredible carelessness, right, and total disregard for the other by allowing the flock to graze wherever, or it could be the greatest source of cultivation of empathy, because now you have responsibility for every member of the flock, and this sheep wants to go this direction, and this sheep wants to go that direction, and this one moves faster, and this one eats slower, and this one walks this, and now you're responsible for keeping the flock together. So do you want it to be a source of carelessness where it grazes anywhere and everywhere, or do you want to allow it to be the source for cultivation of dramatic empathy. So Avraham Avinu uses it for empathy. David HaMelech uses it for empathy. Moshe Rabbeinu uses it for empathy. Yet, interesting enough, I will say, you see it dramatically. Lot, right, when Avraham Avinu chastises Lot, Lot was careless. So I will say, in life, Yisrael Sharm writes this idea, in life, everybody's given a wellspring of koach. Each of us has a repository of strength. The shaila is, how do you use it? The same strength could go to spiritual development, or the same strength could go to a life of spiritual ruin. It's the same koach. You just have to choose how to use it. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a kasha. Hadi de hada alma. People say, all depends on whose flock you're shepherding. See, I will say, the Gemara says, when you're shepherding your own flock, that's when people unfortunately allow their flocks to graze on other people's property. Why? Because it saves me money. However, if you're shepherding other people's flock, hey, you're getting paid by the hour anyway. So what does it matter? You know, I'll take them to the right fields so that they don't graze on other people. I'm more careful where the sheep's graze. The Gemara says, Tilo temahachi, because if you don't say this, anan chiyusa leroa hechi masminon. People say, how would you ever be able to give over a flock to a shepherd after all the haksiv livne ivra lo site mechshol? People say, so it must be, interestingly enough, that it's only when people are grazing their own flock that sometimes there's the Sahara to allow the flock to graze on someone else's land, because that saves me money. But if the shepherd is grazing other people's flocks, which is interesting, I would have thought just the opposite, that's when the Maisi actually is a bit more careful about where he allows the flock to go. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, because if not, how would you ever be able to go ahead and what? How would you ever be able to go ahead and allow and give over your sheep to someone to graze them? After all, that would be placing a stumbling block in front of the blind. El Chazaka, here it is. We'll say, people only sin when there's a benefit. I'm not sinning for someone else's benefit. I'm only sinning for my own benefit. So if I'm grazing, shepherding someone else's animals, I'm not going to... Why would I allow them to steal from others? That's not benefiting me. It's other people's animals. If it's my own flock, that's when, unfortunately, I may be tempted to cut corners. Incredible. We'll say, let's go right there. So back to the Mishnah. So Zay Yishav Hashem Lo Babach Zechassis. Well, so remember again, what did the Mishnah say? So remember again, Shnayim Oksim Metala, Zamar Ani Mitzvah V'Kula Shali, V'Zamar Ani Mitzvah V'Kula Shali. So we'll say, what's the halacha? They're both holding on to the Talis. So what's the halacha? They both go ahead, Yachloku, right? So they both take a Shvua. What's the Shvua? Zay Yishav Hashem Lo Babach Zechassis. So each swears that they have no less than half. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Al the Islay Mishtaba or al the Leslay Mishtaba? So I don't understand. They're swearing about what they do have or what they don't have. I was about to say, it's a strange lashon, right? She'ein lo ba pachos mechatzia. I have no less than one half. Why don't you just swear I own 50% of this? Well, why this strange lashon? Amar Rafuna, you're right. Amar Shavua she'yesh li ba ve'ein li ba pachos mechatzia. Rafuna's lashon of the Shavua is, I swear that I have an ownership interest in this, and I do not have less than 50%. So the Gemara says, I understand. V'neima shvua shekula shali. So the Gemara says, why don't you swear? That's not the claim. I was about to say, here's what's interesting, is the oath doesn't match the claim. I was about to say, what's the claim? It's mine. So why don't you swear? Why doesn't each party swear? I own this cloak. Right? Yisha v'neima shvua shekula shali. I swear it's all mine. So the Gemara says, one second, miyav, you know, like kule? But no, you're not going to do that, Bosei, because that would look foolish. Because there, the oath doesn't match the result. Because Bosei, here's what's interesting. We know what the result is here, right? In other words, when Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din, Beis Din's like, oh, not again, right? Not again, right? Okay, we know how this is going to end. How is it going to end? How's it going to end? Yachloku. So Bosei, now again, obviously, as we said, we can't just split it. You need to administer a shvua because the shvua is the fail-safe against frivolous claims, right? Because otherwise, without a shvua, every Chaim Yankel is going to go ahead and grab onto something that's not his and claim that it's his. So we have to go through shvua. But we know the resolution is yachloku. So to have Reuven and Shimon swear it's all mine, that doesn't make any sense because that doesn't match the outcome. So the Gemara says v'neima shvua shechetsya shali. So again, the Gemara says, so fine, why don't we just do this? Let each party make a shua. I swear, half of it is mine. That doesn't work. Why? Mari leile dibure. Because we'll say, that doesn't work. Why? Because we'll say, in that case, the shua doesn't match their own claim. So we'll say, so remember again, They're each making a claim, it's all mine. So now you're going to swear 50% of it is mine. What's that again? That's not the claim you made. The Amar Kula Shali, Bela Devrechan, Shvua Shiyesh Laba, Ve'in Laba Pachos Mechatsya. So I says, now you're going to say, he takes a Shvua that I have, Yesh Shliba, I have an ownership interest in it, and it's Ve'in Liba Pachos Mechatsya. And it's not less than 50%. So we'll say, I don't understand. Why do we need the shvua at all? Now, we'll say, we already said this, but it's just an introduction to the next part. So we'll say, again, if Reuven's holding 50%, Reuven's holding onto it, Shimon's holding onto it, so just put it, why need the shvua altogether? Rabbi Yochanan, shvua zu takanas chachamim hi, shelo yehe kol echar ve'echar holik v'tochei betaliso shechaveiro v'omer shelihu. So we'll say, so we already said, that halacha l'maisa, this shvua is instituted to dispense with frivolous claims. Because otherwise, again, every person is going to grab onto the property of their friend and claim that it's theirs. The shvua is the mechanism that makes sure that the claim is a legitimate one. The Gemara says, V'neima, migo d'choshid amona, choshid nami ashvua. But now I will say, isn't there a concern that maybe one of them is lying? And if one of them is lying, how could you allow them to go out and take a shvua? In other words, watch this interesting logic. Reuven and Shimon both walk in to Beis Din, and they're both holding on to the cloak. Right? Reuven says it's all mine, Shimon says it's all mine. So we'll say, now, by the way, is it possible that they're both telling the truth? Is it possible?
Yeah.
Because remember again, what could have happened? Could be a lost object that they found simultaneously, lifted up simultaneously. It's possible. So why not just split it down the middle? Because we're choshesh that maybe someone's lying, and therefore the shvua is there to prevent mechanism, which means that there is a possibility. We acknowledge the possibility someone here is dishonest. Oh, well, if someone here is dishonest, then how are we allowing the parties to take a shvua? In other words, both sides. So maybe we should say, if there's a chashash that you are dishonest regarding monetary claims, maybe you're chashad nami ashvua, to which the Gemara says, lo amrina amigo de chashad amamona, chashad ashvuasa. So this is actually quite fascinating. We do not say that. We do not say that just because someone is suspected to be dishonest regarding monetary matters, that means automatically that he is dishonest regarding shvua. Why not? But so listen to this. Dilo temahachi. So the Gemara says, hai da'am rachmana mod b'mixas atani yeshava. So we'll say, this is incredible. What's the proof to this? We'll say, the proof to this is motiv mixas. We'll say, what's the case of motiv mixas? So we'll say, motiv mixas means, right? Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $1,000. Shimon says, I only owe you $500. Now we make him take a shvua. They're both saying, now the fact we make him take the shvua on the remaining $500, don't just take his word for it, tells us that what? We think that what? He may be lying. Oh, if he's potentially lying, that means he is suspect regarding dishonesty regarding monetary matters. How can you allow him to take a shvua? From the fact that you allow him to take a shvua, shows us that what? That just because someone is suspected of being dishonest regarding monetary matters, does not automatically mean he's going to be dishonest regarding shvua. To which the Gemara says, no, that's not fair. Hasam, we must say, we know Moed Dimitz, this is a different svara. Hasam ishtamuti kamishtametlei kidraba. We'll say Moed Dimitz is a whole different thing. Moed Dimitz has a whole svara. He's not really lying. He's going to pay back, but rather, what is he doing? He's just buying himself time. So the Gemara says, Teda, Domer of Idi bar Avin, Amr of Chista, Hakofer b'milva kasher le'edos, b'pikadon pasal le'edos. So we'll say, after we have this concept, it's actually quite fascinating. Let's say, if a person totally denies a loan, and then it turns out that he's lying, what's the halacha? He's still kasher le'edos. If he denies the existence of a pikadon, right, then Abba says he is pasal le'edos. And the logic there being, because when it comes to a loan, the logic is, he's going to pay back. Just he wants to buy himself some additional time. When it comes to pikadon, Abba says, in that case, he is a complete liar and he's going to be chasher. Abba says, you know, we'll have to stop over here for today. So just understand, we're kind of leaving off. So we'll say, see here, we're just trying to figure out halacha lemaisa, what's the actual verbiage of the shvua, and again, kind of trying to figure out if we're already suspecting that he's lying, why do we allow him to take a shvua at all? After all, again, don't we have to be concerned that maybe he's going to lie about the shvua? But I will say, what comes out of it is something really amazing. I'm kind of leaving off just in the middle of it, which is this incredible concept that even if you are suspected, regarded to be dishonest regarding monetary matters, it doesn't mean that you're dishonest regarding Shavua. So I will say again, we'll talk about that concept a little bit more tomorrow. Shkoyach. All right, Chavron Zoom, have a great day, everyone. Good to see everyone.